Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Oh my goodness, we are so glad that you're here. I tell you what, today is Instaham. How many of you use social media in your life at any level, okay? I met a lady I know her in the first service. I talked to her who still has a flip phone and no social media. Do I have anybody in the room this morning with a flip phone and no social media? Anybody? I bless you. I love it. I think that's awesome. So she is the only one that we have met today. So the rest of you, how many of you have some kind of social media in your life? How many of you know Instagram is, Instaham is our theme this month, and social media is really what we're wrapping that around. Instaham being because, how many of you know, it is easy to turn into an Instaham pretty quick. Say, Jesse, what do you mean by that? I mean, it is easy to get to where you are wallowing in the low places, in the mud, really, really, really quickly if you spend any time on social media. Pigs love the mud. Pigs love to go to the low places, and pigs will eat just about anything, you know? Every time that we see pigs mentioned in Scripture, it's a bad thing. It's a worldly thing. It's a filthy thing. In fact, the Bible talks about a woman who's without discretion, that she is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. That's not a good thing. They didn't mean that good. That means if we don't use discretion in our life, that's what people see in us. But I don't know about you. I don't want any of that to be my song. I don't want to go to the low places with people. I don't want to wallow around in the mud with everybody. How many of you have ever done just gotten on social media and before you knew it, you had mud all over you and you just didn't know what happened? I mean, it can suck you in so fast. That vortex, that relational vortex, can suck you in so fast. So we're going to just talk about some things today that will keep you from being the Instaham on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, any of those things that you have. How many of you know God gives us all things for us to enjoy, but if we don't use them properly, if we don't know who we are in Christ, sometimes we behave in a manner that isn't like God. That if we don't have the understanding, we go to great lengths at this church. From the time that we have babies in cribs and that we're rocking, we hold them and we tell them who they are in Jesus. How many of you know we go to great lengths from the time they're itty bitty to teach them who they are in Jesus? We go to great lengths whenever they're in kids' ministry to teach them exactly who Christ is in them and who they are in Christ. We work in the teenage years to make sure. Right now we're in the middle of a series called I Wait. It's all about purity, abstinence, and saving oneself for marriage. We go to great lengths to teach people the teenagers, who they are in Jesus. Some of you didn't have the luxury of being raised in church since you were small, and you have a new entry into the faith as an adult. So we continue to try to teach you who you are in Jesus and who Jesus is on the inside of you. And I know one thing, He has not created you to be a pig that eats everything and wallows around in the mud. No Instahams here, but Instagram is kind of has that effect on us. All of the social media sites have that effect on us, where they try to pull us into things, where we're eating everything, consuming everything in our life. And today we want to talk about that. Will you turn with me to the book of John, Chapter 17 today? We're going to go to verse 14. We're going to discover that God has not called us to be a pig. It says, I have given them your word. Jesus says, I've given these people your word. We've been given the word of God. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. How many of you know you are not of the world, but you are in the world? If you are a believer, if you're a Christian, if you've given your life to God, He's called you to live in the abundance of what He has for your life, that Christian faith, and not to be of the world. But I've got news for you. The world does not like our Christianity. The world does not like our Christianity, and they fight that part of us. And it's easy as a believer to fall into a place where we are doing exactly what the world does and only being believers in our name. But God's called us to not be of the world, even though we're here. It says right here in the scripture, He doesn't desire to take us out, to pluck us out of the world. In fact, He's leaving us here as a seed to grow the things of God in a culture that so desperately needs to see Jesus. Some of you are the only Jesus that someone will see. How many of you, I'm not asking you if you've sinned in word. I'm asking you today if you've sinned in your posting. Has anyone ever sinned in their posting today? See, it's a different age. It's a different time. We live in a world that is completely different than what we used to have. And God doesn't want us just eating anything and consuming what the world gives us. It's proven statistically that every single time that we use that phone, it is making us dumber. Do you know that? I mean, the phone distracts us on average 85 times a day. Wow. Boss, I want you to know that you're probably getting about 2 out of the 8 hours of actual work from any employee that you have right now, statistically. Is that crazy? 85 times a day, because I don't know about you, but when the phone dings, everything must stop. You see people, they're driving, the phone dings, they have to stop. You see people with their children, the phone dings, they must stop. I've experienced it myself with my kids. Mommy, mommy, when are we going to eat dinner? Hold on, I'm working on something very important. Really? Am I? I don't think so. I think the phone dinged and it got my attention. 85 times a day, we are being distracted from what we actually need to be doing, who actually needs our attention. I want to read you a fact today. It says this: cognitive capacity and overall brain power are significantly reduced when your smartphone is within glancing distance, even if it's turned off and face down, according to a recent study. It says this: one's own smartphone reduces available cognitive capacity. How many of you are pretty sure that you need all of the brain that is left in you? I know that I do. I need all of the brain that I have. I need it to be functioning at maximum capacity. Statistically, we see that even turned off, face down, a phone within glancing distance is stealing brain power from our life, is actually making us, in a sense, dumber than we should be. Phones and all of the gadgets and all of the things that we have are a beautiful gift that we have in the world, but they can be a huge, huge problem to manage. If we don't know, if we don't have a plan ahead of time, if we're not thinking about not becoming a pig, but actually living the God kind of life even through our social media. I'm going to tell you why I think it's important. This is why we have to pay attention. We are actually digital patriarchs. Did you know you're a patriarch? Did you know that you are the first generation that will be fully known? You know, my great-grandparents, I know of them, but I don't intimately know them. I've heard stories about them passed down through the eyes of someone that loves that person. How many of you know stories told through the eyes of someone that loves a person are a lot better than the stories that are actually true? You see, when you have a family that passes down knowledge about your grandparents, you only hear the good stories, the good things, the blessings. Maybe you have a family member that everyone wasn't very fond of, and you've heard the stories of those passed down through the jaded view as well. But I want you to know today that there'll be no jading and there'll be no rose-colored glasses. They'll just be what you digitally left behind for your grandchildren. See, they will know us intimately. We are the first generation of digital patriarchs. I want to leave breadcrumbs to Jesus for my grandkids. See, they'll see everything that we've posted, everything that we've searched, everything that we've looked at. They'll know our financial status. They'll know everything that can be known. See, people think that they're off the grid. Brian was on an airplane just the other day, and a man sat down beside him who sells facial recognition software. Brian said, I'd like to know how this works. And he said, well, we can do two things. We can look for someone based on, I believe it's 180 viewpoints of their face. Not even a beard or something different on their face can hide them from us. We can go after them by a car and a license plate. There's a lot of different ways to do this. He said, here, let me show you. And he, on the airplane, in the air, pulled up a website, his website, and he said, we're going to track your church, the address of your church, and now I'm going to track every Honda or whatever kind of car he picked that goes by in the next 10 minutes, and then I can track them all day long. You see, we think that what we're doing in private will be private, but honestly, we're going to be digitally recorded. Everything that we've done, our grandkids will know about. That will give you a moment of pause, won't it? Make you think about the next time you search something. Digital patriarchs is what they will call us. See, we're the first generation whose grandkids won't have to ask, where were they? How did they do that? Who were their friends? What was their financial status? We will be known digitally. And so God has called us for such a time as this to rise up and to be the people of God that he's called us to be. To leave breadcrumbs for our grandkids that lead to Jesus. Let them know that you were here, right here at River City Church every single Sunday. Let them know that you were encouraging people. Let them know that you were staying out of the mud on social media. Let them know who you were and who Christ was in you. Those patriarchs matter because in Psalm 145, verse 4, it says, let one generation declare to the next the wonderful works of the Lord and shall declare your mighty acts. Let them know that you are declaring the mighty, mighty acts of God. Our grandchildren can know Jesus as they know us if we do it right. Tell you what, sometimes I think our passions just get the best of us. How many of you have ever been just passionate about something that you saw on social media? You know, I'm passionate about a lot of things. I am opinionated. I have things that I really, really love. My friends tease me. I'm a wealth of worthless information in a lot of areas. When I get interested in something, I have to dig in and I don't stop till I find everything out about it. It's a part of me. I don't know what your passion is. Maybe I do because we've seen it all over social media for the last few months. How many of you ever gotten in a place where you just were passionate about the politics in our nation? A 24-hour news cycle that will go away, but you carry it on. You carry the flag for at least 2 months because you're passionate about something. You want to let the world know who you are. I want you to ask yourself a question the next time that you go to town on boycotting a company, that you go to town on providing someone with your political information. I want you to ask yourself, when was the last time that I was this passionately involved in something that Christ cared about, in lifting him high and letting people know that Jesus loves them and has called them for such a time as this? What is our passion lying? We have to decipher what is good and what is bad. We can't just eat anything and we can't just wallow in anything because after a while, it's all just a big pot of pigs. No one can tell the difference. I tell you, I have found myself in these places. I really have. I've had things. Have you ever just trolled something? You just are looking. There are trolls out there just looking for a moment to fight. Have you ever thought about fighting someone on social media? If your heart rate gets up and your heart starts pounding through your chest, you begin to feel your temperature rise, your blood pressure go up. You kind of get sweaty-handed as you look at that technical device and you begin to type. It's time to stop. It's time to hold back. Just pull in the reins. Don't get in the mud. Don't get in the mud. Don't become a swine. Don't be a pig. Let God lead you. I'm telling you, there are things that we have been called to champion. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, his love for people. Other than that, we can pretty well know that there is not going to be a good end. I love it when people take the ring out of the grenade, throw it in the middle of Facebook, and then end their post with, well, obviously this isn't going anywhere. I guess I'll end it now. They knew it wasn't going anywhere when they posted it. And yet we sit and we take time out of our day and time away from our family and time away from our jobs and stress that releases cortisol. Here we are trying to work out and eat right, and we're stressing ourselves to the max because of something that someone said who didn't deserve a platform in the first place. You see, anyone can be a keyboard warrior now. They can get on and say anything that they want to say, and if you just scroll through that line, you just chew it up. Eat it. Just like going to the slop bin in the pig stall and just taking a spoon and eating whatever they've thrown together for us. We just go and we eat it and we eat it and we love it and we get excited about it and we hope the kids go to bed early so we can get back to the trough and eat some more slop. We love this place. Why? Because there's something that's released in us that produces joy, but it also produces so many other things, so much sadness, fear of missing out on things. We look and someone's having a birthday party and we just wonder why we weren't invited. See, all of these things the devil uses to trip up our mind, to keep us from the present, from actually being present in the life that God has given us. Instead, we're over in someone else's world with someone else's thing. God is calling us out of the pig stall to live in the high places of the earth. God wants us there. He wants our passions to be for him. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 29 that a fool will vent all of his feelings. Be honest with yourself. I'm going to be honest with mine. I have vented my feelings on social media before. Sometimes not even meaning to insinuate anything. People jump in because they're trolling, waiting for their moment. I remember I posted a post one day. It said, great friends don't walk away when the trouble hits. They sit down, grab a seat and a cup of coffee and ask you how they can help. Immediately, I began to get condolences from all of my friends who did what to you. We're coming for them. But oh my goodness, I incited a riot. Violence began to spread throughout my Facebook feed. People were ready to fight for me. It was great to know that I was loved. But somehow, by me just not watching what I had posted, I had people thinking that someone had done something to me. And to be honest, I was having a fantastic day with no problem. I just thought it was a great quote. See, we can trick people. We can manipulate situations. How many of you have ever read something on Facebook and just known it was meant for you? I know that. I saw them in the grocery store today, and now they are posting that women should not wear yoga pants. And I know they saw my yoga pants, and I know they're talking about me. And immediately offense comes. I want to share a scripture with you that'll help you. The Bible says this. It says that those who love the word will not be offended. Wow. Those who love the word will not be offended. How many of you know it's hard to love the word and read the trash all at the same time? But God's called us to heighten ourselves, to lift. You see, we have to filter everything in this world already through a filter. How many of you love that beautiful thing called coffee? Oh, it's glorious. Change your life is what it'll do. It's kept children alive all over the world. You have coffee, this wonderful substance that my mother-in-law thinks is too thick and dark at our house, but we think it's perfect. We have a filter in that coffee pot, and we put the coffee grounds in that filter, and in that place, we pour that hot water through it, and because of it, this incredibly beautiful, scrumptious substance that can be mixed with so many wonderful things comes into a pot beneath. We drink it with joy. We drink it before we do anything. We won't speak until it's in our mouth. It coats our mouth with joy for the day. You see, you never get the coffee unless you get the filter, because outside of the filter, all it is just grounds, and nobody likes to have grounds in their coffee. The world is kind of like that. It crushes everything up, and it sends it to you. And if you don't have a filter of the Word of God in your life, the Bible says that we should think on things that are lovely, of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, yeah, think on that. That's what the Bible says. That's the Jesse version right there. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, yeah, that. Think on that today. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on that thing today. And as we filter it through the Word of God, we get this substance in our life that we love. But outside of that, it's just a coffee cup full of grounds that we're trying to choke down and get through. God wants you to filter your life through the Word of God, those passions through the Word of God. What comes out on the other side of the Word of God is all we need to keep, and it's the only thing that we need to drink. The world's going to give you everything, but you can't just chug down the grounds. You've got to let God's water, the Holy Spirit, filter it through the filter of the Word of God and fill your belly with the good stuff that God wants to give you. God wants you to have something great. He doesn't want to leave you with a bad taste in your mouth. He does these things. He gives us these instructions so that we can walk a life worth living. You see, we have a purpose. There's a purpose to our life here on the earth. You were not here by accident. You are not here by accident. Someone needs to hear that today. You are not here by accident. Do you know you're not on the earth by accident? God didn't create you on accident. I don't care if your mama and your daddy were shocked when they heard you were coming. You are not here by accident. God had a purpose and a plan for you, a plan for good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. You're not in this church by accident. You say, Jesse, I don't think I'm in the right church today. I don't know how I showed up here. My friend asked me, they're getting baptized, and here I am in the pew today. Guess what? You are not here by accident. I'm telling you what, Clinton and Caitlin Berry, that baby's not here by accident, is she? Look, is she here with you today? Mama, will you just stand up and let them see how good you look? Y'all give them a hand clap. She just gave birth to a baby 2 weeks ago. Y'all saw her up here jumping around, dancing. That baby came out with his hand up and it said hallelujah when it entered the world. She's a great worship leader. We're so grateful they're a part of our church. We love you guys. You're not here by accident today. Not even close to an accident. God has you here on purpose. See, this church is a place, if we can get people through the doors of the church, we can help them. We can change lives by entering the front door. Do you know the front door of the church is just like the front door of the gym? It's the hardest piece of equipment to work. You ever had trouble getting through the front door of a gym? I know I have. The front door of a church is even harder sometimes, but when you get in that door, you see, that's why right now, live feed is going out to social media from this sanctuary, because there's someone at home that didn't figure out how to work that door just yet. But God is changing you, and you are not watching this by accident. I'm telling you, you are on this live feed for a purpose from heaven. If we use what God gives us and we do not allow it to be perverted by the world, we can win people to Jesus with the tools that He's put in our hand. Oh, we can win people to God. See, a lot of religious people, they just want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We should just get rid of all of this. Jesse, if all this bad stuff comes across the line, I think I'm just going to get rid of it. Get out. I'm out. Oh, please don't get out. You're what the world needs. You're the person that God has there for a purpose. You have a friend on that line that needs you. Sometimes you have friends that you need to give a 30-day snooze to, but sometimes there is a friend that you need to influence through you speaking out on what God has for people's lives, posting that you're in church, posting that God talked to you today, posting something encouraging, being an example of God to the world. Instead of throwing things away, we have to redeem them for the purposes of God. You see, Jesus did this. This is not something that I came up with. Jesus redeemed things. Have you ever heard the story of the prodigal son? A lot of you have heard the story of the prodigal son. A lot of you have been the prodigal son and daughter. And you say, Jesse, I know that story from Scripture. What do you mean Jesus redeemed it? Well, in the story of the prodigal son, it, as Jesus tells it, he didn't just come up with that and make up a story. It was a common story in the ancient Near East. When they would tell the story, they would tell it to their kids with guilt and shame and fear to prod them never to rebel against their father. They would say, this prodigal took all of his inheritance and he left and he spent it all and he was in the pig pen. Because pigs are always a sign in the Jewish culture of filth. He was in the pig pen eating the pig food. He was an insta-ham. That guy was there, and he gave up everything that he had inherited. When he was done, he wished that he could only be a servant, maybe not even a son, just a servant in his father's house. And he came running home, and when he got there, his dad slammed the door in his face and said, I never knew you. You're not my child. That was the common story, so Jesus grabbed it, and he redeemed it, and he turned it around, and he said, do you know about the prodigal son? And all the people in the crowd were thinking, yeah, here we go again. Oh my, how many of you have ever felt like, please don't tell the story of the prodigal son right now. I'm living in it. They were there. They were listening. Jesus knew he had them in that moment because they were used to the story being told. And in the end, he said that prodigal came running home. That dad threw the doors open and he ran to him and he put a coat on his back and he put a ring on his finger. And for the love of all of the people in the cattle industry, like my family, he killed the fatted calf because God loves cows. And I'm telling you right now that in that moment, everything shifted for those people. He took the common story and he redeemed it for such a time as this. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. God needs us to redeem the common culture and to bring it in to help people understand who Jesus is. You see, we're committed to that here. Some things old and some things new. We always want to be on the verge of everything that's culturally norm and redeeming it for Jesus' purposes. Back in the day, religious people thought that if they walked into a movie, they would surely go to hell. I have a friend, his name's Bob Rogers. He's a preacher in Louisville, Kentucky. He believed that his entire life, and as a young man, he walked into a movie knowing that he was not supposed to be there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He sat down in that movie anyway, thinking, I am for sure going to hell for watching this movie. About that time, one of the greatest evangelists that has ever lived, T.L. Osborne, preached face to face to more people about Jesus than anyone else in the world at that time, came walking in the movie theater. Bob Rogers shifted a little bit in his mind. He said, something must not be complete in my knowledge of this. If T.L. Osborne's here, he must understand something I don't understand. I tell you what he understood. If we give the movie industry and all the arts over to the world, they will pervert it and take the Jesus out of it. But what's happened, church, since we've jumped back into that world, we begin to see a shift. God has been able to come in and represent Jesus in that industry. He wants it in every single one across the earth. We did the same thing as Christians back in the day. We didn't understand usury. Usury in the Bible is excessive interest on money. We felt bad for charging any interest whatsoever. We had a lack of knowledge in that area, and because of it, we handed it over to our Jewish friends and said, you take care of it. And because they had an understanding, they got into the banking world. And instead of borrowing from many nations, they now lend to many nations because they understood the word of God and they didn't shy away from an industry for fear that it was too corrupt to jump into. The Jewish people have risen in that area in finance, and the Christians were taken out of that area because we did not understand that we could be the influencer. So I want to encourage you today to infiltrate social media. I want you to leave all kinds of breadcrumbs behind. We have just posted a clip of this sermon on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram. I dare you to go to your social media to grab that clip and to help us redeem it today. We're going to redeem it. We're going to tag it, hashtag it, Instaham. We're going to let people know that we were at church. We're going to let them know that we would love for them to come with us next week for this series. We're going to let them know that there's going to be a lot of information that they'll enjoy. We're going to spread Jesus with joy, with kindness, with goodness, with help for people. We're going to be the people of God that God has always created us to be. Listen, I want your passions to line up with what God has, and I want you to understand that your purpose is to redeem everything that the world has and use it for God's glory. How many of you want to do that in your world today? It's good. Man, oh man, the teenagers hate pigs so much they grilled them up and they're serving them for lunch today. We're doing away with the pig at River City Church. Telling you what, God has a purpose and a plan for you, for your family. We have so many people getting baptized today. I think almost 30 here at this campus. Between here and Amarillo, we have over 50 people that are getting their team jersey. I belong to Team Jesus today. How awesome is that? People that have come to know Christ and getting baptized. So many have been telling me this week how excited they are to be water baptized as a profession of their faith. Saying to the world, I'm telling you what, Jesus is my life. He is my salvation. I've given my whole world over to him, and now he is in charge. It's a big day for them, a big day. We're going to enjoy that here in just a second as they come forward. I want to pray for you today. Say, Jesse, I need you to pray for me. I just want you to pray over me that I would have wisdom how I use all of my social media for God's glory. Maybe you have a problem Googling the wrong things and you need deliverance from something that holds your mind captive. I don't know what it is today, but God's got all kinds of miracles all the way through these seats. And I want to pray for you today. If you want to, you can lift a hand to heaven. Man, bow your head, close your eyes. Father, right now I pray. I ask for a blessing on each and every one of these sweet people. Father, that you would bless them like only you can. Give them wisdom. I pray for deliverance from those things that bind them, addictions. Lord, we say that they are bound in the name of Jesus. Bound in the name of Jesus. Father, today I release blessing, help, wisdom. And Father, I pray that you would encourage them, strengthen them. I thank you that they are the head and never the tail. Above only, and they are never beneath, that their cupboards are filled with plenty. Lord, you help us to redeem your stuff for your purposes. Amen.